And that paralyzing fear of getting started, I think, is what keeps so many creative ideas from ever getting birth, because they're all going to be ugly when they start off.
Welcome to the Creative Chats Podcast with Mike Brennan. Hey friends, welcome to another episode of Creative Chats. I am your host, Mike Brennan. And this is the podcast where we talk about creativity, the creative process, and story. And I love to unpack these things mostly with my guests and explore how we can apply these things to our own creative processes and journeys. Now, I would love to also invite you to subscribe to the Daily Creative Habit email newsletter. Nobody needs more emails, I get that. But this email that I send out once a week is packed with some inspiration, some resources. I give daily creative prompts for you if you're looking for something to get you out of the rut, to kind of get the juices flowing. Perfect for you. Also, we have a community over on Facebook that is called Daily Creative Habit as well. And I would love for you just to be taking a step to be a part of that community. Come around people who are like-minded, raising their hands to say, I want to show up more consistently for my creativity and craft. So if that's you, head on over to dailycreativehabit.com and you'll find all those resources there. Hey, I'd also love to invite you to check out my book, Make Fun a Habit. It's the creative playbook for making life and work fun again. If you have felt like fun has up and left the building somewhere along the way, I think we all do at some point. You find yourself centering around some practicality and responsibility and all the adulting words. If you need a little bit more fun in your life, in your work, in your experience, then I want to invite you to grab a copy of my book. It's 30 short chapters that give you some inspiration, some practical application and exercises so that you can start to experience some more fun in and around your life. Go to makefunahabit.com and grab your copy today. My guest this week is Chris Bent. Chris is an entrepreneur. He is a creative. He's a speaker. I love the conversation we have today. He is the creator of something called Pickles, which is an application that is web-based that helps other people be creative. I won't try to explain it now. You can listen to the episode where he walks through exactly what this looks like and some of the applications you can use. But be sure to listen closely because this has a wide variety of contexts in which you can use it. And it's just a great tool and resource. And beyond that, we just talk about the creation process and some of the other things that Chris has his hand in as far as creating. So without further ado, here is my creative chat with Chris Bent. Well, Chris, welcome to the Creative Chats podcast. It's so good to see you.
Thanks, Mike. It's great to be here.
Dude, so I love that... you are just such a creative soul. We have that connection, and we're going to get into some of the things that you're creative about and that you help other people be creative. But just for the sake of the listeners out of the gate, tell us a little bit about yourself. Like, who are you? What do you do?
Yeah. So I definitely did not always consider myself a creative soul. I actually didn't think that I was very creative at all, but it's sometimes in those depths that you find what you really need. And I realized that it was creativity that was lacking from my life. And that was really preventing me from feeling whole and feeling fulfilled. So I have always been, I guess, a rambunctious kid, ADHD, needing to do things, hard to sit down. And I channeled that pretty early into sports and then into mowing lawns. And I started a landscaping business. I love that. And that is really what started entrepreneurship in my life, planted those seeds. And I've been an entrepreneur since the age of basically 12, when I banged down on some neighbors' doors and got them to pay me $20 to mow their lawn. And what I realized later in life was that entrepreneurship was scratching my creative itch. I mean, you could kind of consider a a lawn, if you make those lines super nice, it's your little art canvas, because I wanted to make it look as nice as possible. But I also think that entrepreneurship, art, engineers, anyone who is taking ideas, making them exist in the world, you have a vision, and then you use your hands, your voice, your abilities to bring it out. I think that that is the most exciting thing that anyone could do. And I think it's core to the human experience. I really think we all need to do that. And so it wasn't until I got a soul-sucking sales job where someone was telling me I had to email 100 people a day and book 10 meetings a week and deliver 10 demos. And my life was basically reduced to metrics, that I realized how important creativity was for me. And then I started taking steps to try and reawaken this desire and find a way to just be creative without being a creative.
Mm, yeah. I love how you listen to yourself in this process. There were signs along the way that told you pay attention, and you did. I love also how you connected creativity and entrepreneurship, because, you know, I talk to people all the time, and especially I think people who are more, say, traditional artists, don't necessarily think of themselves as entrepreneurs. And yet through talking to them about things, they realize like, oh, there are skills that I need to learn that are very much tied to entrepreneurship. And just this whole idea of being able to, like you said, take an idea, create something, put it out into the world. There are systems and processes you need to learn. There's certainly models and methods, right, that you can surround yourselves with to learn from, and all with the goal of you helping get out into the world the thing that you're creating so that it can actually have an impact and help other people. I'm wondering, when you're thinking about entrepreneurship in the early days, were there models that you were looking to? Were there people around you that you had as examples? Or was like entrepreneurship kind of this weird thing that, you know, you didn't really know anybody, or there was no context for you to really understand what that looked like?
Yeah, my grandfather, that's a great question. My grandfather had a water testing lab when he was about 50 that my dad actually worked at. But that he did not charge nearly enough money for those water tests, and they eventually had to fold because of that. My other grandfather, he would actually send me newspaper clippings of all of these other kids who started their landscaping companies and then grew these into multi-crew organizations. So there was definitely the support for entrepreneurship in my family. And then in going through my university, we competed in a business competition that got me into these different incubators. And in those, you're exposed to mentors, you're exposed to advisors, other people who are starting their own companies. And so I was really kind of immersed in this world for pretty much my whole life. And I always thought that entrepreneurship is like the Holy Grail, the promised land. I couldn't imagine in high school why anyone would want to work in a grocery store for $9 an hour when you could be outside listening to music, mowing lawns, making your own time, and making your own money for $20 an hour. And so I always thought like that if people just knew how great it could be, then they would be entrepreneurs too. And it's certainly, I think it's one of those fallacies where you think everyone is like you, like just because you're artistic, you're creative, you think everybody is creative. But that's also what people need sometimes. They need, like, you see in other people what you see in yourself. And so if you are creative, that's how you can bring it out of other people. And so I have also encouraged my friends to quit their corporate jobs and start consultancies or to take the leap, because it's definitely not the easier path. You might doubt yourself many times along it, but I think it is the most fulfilling thing that you can do when you really are responsible for everything at the end of the day. And the successes feel so good and those failures sting so bad and make you re-question everything. But but that's why having that surrounding support from people is so crucial, because it's not a solo sport. It's really a team sport.
Yeah. You mentioned earlier how you didn't really consider yourself creative. I'm wondering, like, what was the definition that you had of creativity, and why was it that you felt like that wasn't you?
So my definition at that time was basically artistic. If you could dance, if you could sing, if you could act or paint or crochet, some sort of task like that. At the time, I didn't think, well, I couldn't cook either, but I definitely wasn't thinking that cooking was creative or even taking a different route home from work. Now I have significantly expanded my view of creativity, but at the time I really had it just as like the traditional arts that you might be taught in school. And the only creative things that I had done then was doing those like paint nights where you get a couple glasses of wine to get a little drunk so you don't feel so bad about painting on a canvas, which you're super abstract. Uncomfortable to do. Yeah. And then everyone walks home with the Mona Lisa that looks roughly the same, or the Eiffel Tower. And you're like, all right, I'm creative. And so, yeah, so that was basically my definition of it. And it's definitely changed since then.
Yeah. So I think you're spot on. A lot of people that I talk to, the reasons why they don't think they're creative is just that they don't think, they confuse artistic with creative. And because they say I can't draw, I can't paint, I can't sing, dance, etc., therefore I'm not creative. And creativity is so much bigger than that. And I love just highlighting that fact for people, because then they can see themselves in it and they can see, oh, this is what creativity looks like for me. And when somebody knows that, then they can actually take action specifically, and they can know what that looks like for them, and they can do it on purpose. Right. And so there's more opportunity for people to embrace creativity that feels more just personal to them and who they are, you know, and how they show up in the world. So you're on this, you know, entrepreneur track, and you're doing things, you're creating things. I want to shift gears a little. How does Pickles come about? Can you tell the audience, like, what is Pickles and like, where did that come from?
Yeah. So Pickles in this case is spelled P-I-C-C-L-E-S, not only so that I could buy the domain name, but because it's a combination of pictures and pixels. We put those two words together to create Pickles. And the whole idea that I had when I was in that soul-sucking corporate sales job was how to make creativity more accessible. And one of the big intimidating things was staring at the blank canvas and having a million options, or looking at Photoshop, for instance, and you have so many tools there and you could make something beautiful, but you're not going to, because you don't have those skills yet. And that paralyzing fear of getting started, I think, is what keeps so many creative ideas from ever getting birth, because they're all going to be ugly when they start off. So my whole idea was, how can you make it more accessible? And it started with this collaborative coloring book, where basically, instead of one person spending an hour making the Mona Lisa, we could have 100 people spending a minute each doing 1/100th, all coming together to create a finished product that no one had to spend too long to create, and no one felt judgment for sharing. Because I think a huge part, as you mentioned earlier, of creativity and art and all of this is to share it with the world. Mm-hmm. A Picasso does nobody good sitting in someone's basement. You really need to share it with the world, and that can be super intimidating for a lot of people. And so the initial idea of Pickles was just give people constraints, but have those constraints kind of bring together everyone so that you're all working under those same constraints and you can create something that has some cohesion that can then be shared with people and be a pretty cool product that no one person could make on their own.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that it's a collective, and that people are contributing their little piece of it. And so who would you say like this is for? Like, give us some context as far as like how this is used and who it's for.
Yeah. So I had originally set out to make it for that corporate drone who was stuck in their cubicle and desperately desiring a creative outlet. And I did a little research, found that Adobe had published a report saying 63% of people didn't feel as though they were living up to their creative potential. It's a big number. And so I found a lot of people yearned to tap into their creativity, but didn't know how. And honestly, after creating the initial version of Pickles, I didn't know how to reach those people either. And so I started just experimenting, because I think a lot of creativity is trying things, mm-hmm. having little experiments, little hypothesis, little problem solvings that you don't know where they're going to go, but you try them out to see where they're going to go. And so we tested it in community centers, YMCAs, children's hospitals, and we were actually going in the direction of children's hospitals because even though we designed it for the corporate folk, we found kids, they didn't need any convincing. They love drawing already and they just jumped right into it. So to go in the path of least resistance, we focused there. And we were making some progress doing pilot project at Montreal Children's Hospital until the pandemic happened. And there was no way in hell they would have let us into the hospital to increase the patient experience when they were just trying to quell the pandemic. And so that's when we actually shifted focus into the meetings and event space and got back into the corporate world, because they had a huge problem keeping people engaged now that every event was virtual. Mm-hmm. And so that's really where we kind of found our stride and started connecting with a lot of these meeting planners and professionals who were really involved in that space. So it's been used in all sorts of different settings. And that's actually one of the difficult things is how do we market this? Because there's event professionals, there's a lot of teachers who use it in their classrooms, there's consultants, qualitative researchers, the list goes on. And so they all use it for different things, which I personally love, but the business side of me doesn't love so much because it's not such a narrow niche that is easy to really drill down on.
Yeah. It's interesting, you know, because creativity is so big and it can be applied in so many different ways. But like you said, people want to put things in boxes. People want easy labels and handles so that they know, oh, this is what this is for. And so I think that that does present a unique challenge when it comes to the marketing piece. Have there been creative ways that you've tried to lean into that? Any you know, examples come to the top of your mind maybe for that?
For the marketing specifically?
Yeah, for the actual marketing. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, one of the biggest things that I realized, because I thought I could just build this and they would come. I don't know, everybody, millions of people would just flock to the app because they saw how cool it was. And that did not happen. And so the whole adage of you got to eat the dog food was true. I had to start using Pickles in as many different ways as I could to try and inspire those use cases. So I did a lot of free events to get it out there and get exposure. But then I also tried to use it in different ways. Like around Earth Day, we did a draw a tree, plant a tree campaign. So pretty simple. Just have people draw a tree and then we would download them all, count them up and plant that many trees somewhere in the world. Not like physically, but use one tree planted to do it because they're the professional tree planters. And then other companies saw that and was like, oh, this is a great way of celebrating Earth Day. And they kind of ran with that. And so it's honestly been awesome to see these different ways people have been able to adapt it. One of my good friends, Jing, who has a company called 28 Muses, she uses it for Chinese calligraphy, where she talks about how the Chinese symbols came about through drawings, actually, that were simplified and simplified and simplified to their more basic characters. But then after that, people create their own names based on what's important to them. And so they have their own kind of Chinese calligraphy symbols that they can then describe why they chose these different drawings and symbolism that create who they are and how that goes into their name. So I think it's just one of the things about creativity and why that sharing is so important is because you never know how it's going to impact another person. And seeing your idea land in someone's hands and then transform, it is so cool because it now has a life outside of your brain and it started in your brain. And just the fact that humans can do that still blows my mind.
Yeah, I would think there's a lot of storytelling opportunities around that, like you said, in sharing some of these examples, because then it becomes bigger than your idea. It becomes bigger than the tool that you've created. It does, like you said, take a life of its own because people are taking it and contextualizing it for their needs and for their purposes. If somebody's listening and they're like, I would love to be able to use this in my environment, working with people in whatever context they're thinking about, how does somebody go about doing that? This is a website, app, like what is it? What does the practical portion of this look like?
Yeah, so it is a web application that anyone could go to pickles.com, P-I-C-C-L-E-S, and start a free trial. So no credit card needed to get going. And then you can just start using it. And yeah, that was another learning. We originally built an iOS application because I figured to have an app, you need to put it on a Android or iOS. And then in getting up in front of people and telling them to go to the App Store, waiting and waiting, and then telling them to search pickles and hoping they spelt it right, and then waiting for them to delete three pictures of their dog because they didn't have any space on their phone. It was just so much friction. So one of the huge learnings was just like how to reduce friction, because any extra step you give people, they're just naturally going to drop off. There's just less and less people, the more kind of obstacles you put to actually engagement. So that's why after about 2.5 years, we rebuilt it as a web application. So now people just scan a QR code with whatever device they have and they're in and they're drawing and they're participating. And it's just all about the activity and not the login or download or that stuff that nobody wants to do.
Yeah. I love that it's very meta, right? Because you're creating something that's encouraging other people to be creative. And in the process, you're realizing, oh, there are things I need to change about what it is I'm creating, reduce the friction, and continue to lean into how can I make this the best experience and the easiest for people so that there's no stumbling blocks. And so there's something just very meta about that whole, right?
Yeah.
It's like, it's soaked in creativity. I love it.
Yeah. I'm definitely over-indexed on the the creative side of things now. My left side of my brain is probably the size of a pea. It's not getting too much use these days.
What is it that you would love to see happen next in terms of, you know, the next iteration or maybe another application for this that you haven't seen yet?
It's a really good question. So I think it's really exciting when people are drawing on their phone. It happens in real time. So every little brushstroke you make on your phone, it shows up on a big screen somewhere. We've had this on 100 foot projectors in city centers before, And that feeling is super cool for people where they can just see their art larger than life. And so one of it is just to give that experience to more people who haven't got that. And so working with like cities and governments to engage their citizens and make them more creative, but also this creativity can have the power to connect and to reveal things that they might not have shared just verbally or through some kind of form that you send out. Another is to work more with kids. We have seen a lot of interest from teachers, and I want to lean more into how teachers can really use this to infuse creativity into the curriculum, because I think our educational system really stamps it out of kids as you're taking all of these standardized tests and there's a right and a wrong answer to everything. And it really doesn't prepare kids for the real world where there's so much more ambiguity and uncertainty. And it also kills that superpower that kids naturally have. I think Picasso said, every child is an artist. The challenge is to remain one when you become an adult. And I think if we can infuse more creativity, ideally with pickles or however it may happen, into our education, I think that will have some profound ripple effects throughout the world. And then we're also using some AI to help categorize, cluster, and understand drawings and help kind of reveal what might be unspoken. So there's all sorts of work in inclusion and accessibility that we're doing to try and give a voice to those who might not have one.
I love that. Love that. You know, and when you give people tools like this and it enables them to unlock some things that maybe they haven't had the opportunity, that's a special thing. I'm wondering, just a question here. If somebody's thinking about, okay, I love this idea, I'd love to use this, and maybe there's a little hesitation, have you had any concerns? And maybe this is just because I'm a New Yorker and there's a little bit of like, you know, I'm surrounded by deviants, right? So have you had an experience where because of something's being drawn live, that it's being projected, the concerns of like, we need to censor, or we need to delay something in case there's something that's not appropriate? How do you handle that aspect of things?
Yeah. So something, I mean, yeah, I called the company Pickles. It's probably already just driving people to do inappropriate things. fighting off the inappropriate drawings is an ongoing process. But it's, first of all, I think it can be a teaching moment, however you use it. I mean, when I was just at my university, I had the TAs in the moderation panel to hide anything that was inappropriate. So we do have that functionality. And as we get AI working better, it's something that could help with. But I'll tell you, like, we had a customer who was using Pickles during a virtual workshop. And the question was, what makes you happy? And someone drew a dick. And I mean, not like necessarily a even wrong answer, because it can derive a lot of happiness for some people. But the manager who was on that absolutely flipped a lid, and they needed to find the offender. They wanted to punish them. I think they wanted to fire them, actually. And so there was just like this back and forth, because Pickles is anonymous by default, and we do that so people are authentic and they engage, and it's just this more real experience and not one that they feel like they're going to be judged for. So I think it could have turned into a great experience or just been kind of laughed off, but someone took it super seriously. They wanted to crack the whip, and we're not able to find who it was. After kind of going back and forth, like looking at IP addresses, it wasn't going to work. And my final suggestion was that we could do a handwriting analysis and have everybody draw a dick, and then we would see which ones matched the offending one that we found. Surprisingly, they did not jump for that option, but that was just, maybe using a little bit too much creativity or being inspired by crime shows to...
Or National Lampoons.
Yeah. So, they did not respond to that last email with that suggestion. But I honestly, I think it can be a teaching opportunity, or just one that you kind of ignore and don't highlight. But it's certainly there, but it's also like part of culture. Mm. I mean, people have been drawing inappropriate things since we learned how to draw. And so do we just like, yeah. And also like, what is inappropriate? That is different by culture. That's different by like how old you are, the context you're in. So that's why it would become pretty hard to actually moderate it with AI, because it is so subjective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think you're onto something there though, as far as it being teachable moments and opening conversations, because I think when people look to be too quick to shut things down and there's a sense of, you know, hey, we're losing control or something, that's when conversations don't get to be had. And also, where I think sometimes some creativity gets stifled, right? Because, there's contextualization, obviously, for each and every situation. But I think using a tool like this, using it for good and not evil, right? However you term that and see that, this is opportunity for people to engage, for people to share ideas, to be collective in a place where they're working on something together. So I love that you're in this. I love that you've created this and you're getting it into the hands of people in various contexts. And that you have vision for it to continue to even new and other ways. Have there been maybe a story where you can think of that's like, this was something that happened as a result of, you know, someone using Pickles that was a really cool moment that maybe is something you like to share even in your marketing or just when you're telling people about this platform and saying, here's some power of what can happen?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I mean, I think it really, my brain goes to the stories that come out after the drawing happens, because a little doodle drawing, it obviously doesn't capture the whole essence of what your idea is, but it gives you a life preserver, or it gives you a little island to stand on to then jump into a story. So when we were doing a team building session, I asked everyone what the best gift they ever received was. And someone drew a Rubik's Cube, which was like, okay, that's a little odd. I mean, I got PlayStations as a kid. I was never getting that jacked up about a Rubik's Cube. But the story of how he grew up in like the post-Cold War, where there was no games and his dad had to cross a border into Poland just to get this Rubik's Cube and like come back. And I just kind of had the Rubik's Cube up that whole time, but it gave him a platform to dive into this story that he wouldn't have probably shared otherwise. And I think it's those stories that emerge, which are just so beautiful. And as you said, like, it's hard to just share stories or to want to take the spotlight and to do that in a group setting. So by using Pickles as a tool to facilitate the emergence of these stories, I think it's really powerful in its ability of connecting people.
Mm, yeah. And then those drawings can even become like symbols or icons because they're representing those stories, because they're there's experience behind that drawing. It's not just a standalone drawing of whatever the thing is. And so love that it gives the ability to highlight those and share those stories and create deeper meaning and deeper connection for people. And that's certainly the power of creativity in that context.
Yeah.
And, you know, speaking of just creativity and creating all these different things, like, what are some other things that you're excited about creating, some of the other things you are creating right now? And we talked offline right before we were getting going about the art of networking. Tell us a little bit about that and what that looks like.
Yeah. So as I mentioned, I love entrepreneurship. That's led me to a lot of business incubators, conferences, trade shows, networking events. And I found myself with thousands of business cards that I had digitized. I had connected with them on LinkedIn, but I didn't know what to do with. And I felt bad about just throwing them away and imagining them rotting in some dusty, moldy dumpster, because those are sometimes someone's dream. Sometimes they worked their whole life to start this business or this restaurant or whatever it was. And so in an effort of celebrating them, and also because I didn't consider myself an artist at the time and I didn't want to waste money on art supplies, I decided to take all those business cards and turn them into art. And you can see a little bit behind me here. And so now I've actually just launched the store, which is taonetworking.com, which stands for The Art of Networking. And I have sold one print so far. Thank you, Celia, for purchasing it. And I've done one commissioned piece as well for someone who sent me his box of business cards that I then transformed into some art relevant to his life. And I just love that because it's also more tangible. Mm-hmm. And so I am doing that usually kind of nights and weekends, but I also just have a laundry list of ideas. And I think if anyone just wants to be more creative, one of the things to start is just to start writing things down. Like if you have an idea and you don't write it down, it's going to fly out of your head and go into someone else's. Like the universe doesn't care who implements an idea. It just wants some of these ideas to take root and to grow. And so I think just by writing it down, it makes it more real. And so, I mean, for one, I built a backpack whiteboard as well. It's literally just like a little whiteboard with backpack straps, because I had a friend, and this concept of a walk shop has always been interesting to me. Instead of a workshop that you get into a conference room for 4 hours to try and flesh out your new product positioning, this backport lets you go on a walk with people and put sticky notes and write on it as someone is literally the whiteboard, and everyone else can move while doing it. So I'm a very kinesthetic person, and just having these more like tangible like experiences is something that drives me. So yeah, I don't think I'll ever stop coming up with ideas and playing around with them and just seeing how I can throw them out into the world and see how it resonates with people. And that's one of the reasons that I never want to retire, is because it just doesn't seem exciting.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to stop. And it's like, no artist is like, oh, I can't wait until I can finally stop making art. It's
exactly
like, it's like, no, that's not the goal. It is to just like retire on a beach and just stir your daiquiri around forever. It's beautiful that I have this, that I have the opportunity of doing this well. And I think everyone has the opportunity. You can use your weekends, you can use your nights, and just taking 15 minutes that you would have been scrolling through Reddit or Instagram and journaling or writing a poem or even just talking to ChatGPT and seeing what it might spit back at you. Like, that can be just starting to build that creative muscle. And I think creativity really is a muscle that the more you use, mm-hmm. the more you have, and you really just got to get started, which is always the hardest part.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, as I'm thinking about your business cards, there's something that's beautiful about the fact that within Pickles, you've created something that is a community effort, and in the business cards, you're taking all these different pieces from different people and putting it together to make something also that's collective. And so I love seeing echoes of that in things that you're doing that may seem not connected, but they are connected because it's all coming from you and the things that are important to you. And so I love that, and also the art of reinvention, right? This idea of where we have something and maybe we need to make it better, right? For Pickles, it was, let's take down the barriers of resistance there. Let's make this easier for people. And for the business cards, you're taking these things and saying, I'm going to use this as the raw material for something new, and I'm going to reinvent using these as the material. So I love just hearing the stories, hearing the experiences, hearing what's important to you in and amongst the details of the things you've described. I know that there's just going to be even more incredible things to come. So I'm excited for you. I'm excited about the things you've already created. And I want to thank you for just being brave enough to say, yes, I'm going to act on my ideas. Yes, I'm going to invest in myself and in others and in the tools and resources, the technology, all the things, so that other people can get some things in their hands and start doing things. We need more voices, more people stepping up and stepping into those roles. So thank you so much for that today.
Thank you, Mike. And you're doing the same thing. And I think the everyday creativity, that's really what it is all about, building that practice, because it is a practice, and you're gonna fail and you're gonna make mistakes. Like just recently I poured acrylic epoxy over a business card piece, and I saw it seeping in and turning all the white business cards gray, and I was like, oh my God. And it stuck with me for like days. I was like, I ruined it, because I had already sent a picture to the client who I was sending it to. And then I ruined it after sending that picture. But it's just part of life, and mm-hmm. it's not a failure if you quit. And I think that's the biggest thing, is just to keep going. And once you are on that path, like not being there and just like giving up a creative practice and just resigning yourself to just not doing anything creative, it's almost a foreign idea. It just doesn't stick. And so I appreciate people like you just bringing more of this to the world and giving a microphone to me and letting me help to have some sort of positive impact. So yeah, thank you so much for
absolutely
having me here.
Yeah, it's linking arms and moving forward. Just as we wrap up, where can people go to find you, to find Pickles, like any of the projects, any links you want to lay on us? Now would be a great time.
Yeah, so you could go to pickles.com, which is, I think I spelled it before, but just mm-hmm. with two C's instead of a C and a K. Or LinkedIn. I'm on LinkedIn regularly. It's Chris Bent, B-E-N-T. You can find me there. Or send me an email at chris@pickles.com and I'll get back to you pretty quickly.
Awesome. Well, I want to thank you again for today, and I can't wait to hear about what you do next and to just continue to follow your story, your journey, and all your creations. So thank you again.
Thank you, Mike. This was awesome. Great to talk to you, and really appreciate the time and everything that you're doing.
Thanks for listening today. I'd appreciate it if you would subscribe, leave a rating and a review. It really helps this podcast be seen and heard by others.